All right, so this morning we're going to start a series that will go for a couple of weeks. And this series is, I've called The Battle, Part 1. And so we're going to look at this over the next couple of weeks because I think it's important that we realize and that we know and that we understand that we are in a battle. You know, a lot of times we don't think of it that way. You know, as Christians or in church, we don't look at it that way. Yet that is the truth that the scripture gives us. That is a truth that it gives us. And, you know, what we see going on in the world all around us, what we see going on in our own families, the things that are happening in our schools and all over, the issues all around us, they are a battle. That's just the way that it is. It is a battle. We don't get to choose if there is a battle. We don't get to choose that, you know, what the battle is or where the battle takes place. We don't get to choose any of that, but we do get to choose our response to this truth. We can choose to run. We can choose to hide. We can choose to put our heads in the sand, but that doesn't change anything. That doesn't change the fact that we are in a battle. We need to accept this truth. We need to prepare ourselves with this truth. We need to be ready. We need to be faithful, and we need to fight this battle. Now, so many times as Christians or as the church, I see that we get off track in two main ways regarding that there's a battle going on around us. And one way is that we'll deny there's a battle. We just deny it. We choose to hide or put our heads in the sand and nothing's wrong, nothing's going on, everything's beautiful, everything's amazing. Or we'll fight the wrong battle in the wrong way. Those are the two things that we'll often do. We'll deny that there is an issue and a battle going on, or we're going to fight the wrong battle and we're going to do it in the wrong way. And so that's what we're going to look at over these next few weeks. What is the battle? What is it? How do we protect ourselves in this battle? How do we fight well in this battle? Because a lot of times as Christians, we mistake meekness for weakness. That happens a lot. We feel that, you know, we're supposed to love everybody and we're supposed to be kind and generous and we are supposed to be all of those things, but that doesn't mean that we never stand up. That doesn't mean that we don't have a voice. That doesn't mean that we don't act on our faith. Like I mentioned earlier that, you know, there is power in the name of Jesus, but if we just believe that, it doesn't change much in our lives. The name of Jesus is power, but it's not magic. It's not a magic name that you just say a name and magical things happen. That's not Christianity. That's not the Word of God. It's not magic, but it is power. It is amazing. It is more than most of us give it credit for. It is unbelievable the things that will happen and can happen and should be happening in the church and in the world around us and in our lives. Scripture tells us that we have armor and that there's a battle and that we're to fight and do certain things. So what does that look like? This is The Battle, Part 1, and we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, if you have your Bibles with you. Ephesians chapter 6. So Scripture tells us that we're in a battle. It says that we have armor to wear. What is this armor? Most of us could probably rattle off most of what the armor is. Some of us, maybe all of it. But how does it work? Like, what does that armor actually do? What does it actually mean? How do we put it on? Do we have to put it on? Do we even have a part in any of this? Or is it just we're Christians and we say a prayer and then we just kind of hang out for the rest of the time because God does the rest? In order to fight properly, we need to know what this is all about. You know, no fighter, no soldier, no one who's going into a real battle just does whatever they feel like. That's not how it works. No soldiers, they're trained. Soldiers follow orders. Soldiers wear the armor and the uniform that they're given because it's there for a reason. They use the weapons that they're given, the weapons that they're trained to use because they have armor and weapons for a reason. Our battle is no different. Though our fight looks much different than we might think it would look. Our fight looks much different than the world around us would have us believe that it is. So Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We declare that it's truth. We declare we will live by it and allow it to change us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak this morning, to stir every heart, to touch every mind. We ask that your words come through, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we ask that here in this service and those watching at home through the live stream, Holy Spirit, that you would touch everyone, every mind, every heart, that you would do among us what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So he says, finally, brethren. This shows us that he's speaking to Christians. He's Paul's talking to the church. He's not just talking in general. He's not just talking to some unknown audience. He's speaking to us, the church, Christians. And the first thing that he says is, you know, you'd have to read through verse 6, and it's about how to live and how to be a servant and how to serve others and these things. But then finally, so having said all of that, he says, first, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. That's the first thing. That's always, always, always the first thing. People can sometimes get annoyed at the church or preachers for always talking about the gospel, always talking about salvation, always talking about repentance and following Jesus. But that is the only way to become in the Lord. There's no other way. That's why we talk about it all the time. That's why it's our message. That's why you're always going to hear it. Because that's the only way to be in the Lord. If we aren't in the Lord, we have no hope in this battle. No hope in this fight. And no chance of winning. At all. But if we are in the Lord, we can't lose. What a drastic change. No hope of winning or no chance of losing. What do you want? You pick. But the only way you win is in the Lord. And then the rest of the verse says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's a very important line. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It's not about us. It's not about our strength or our ability or any. It is about him. Jesus is enough. And only Jesus is enough. However, we do have a part to play in this battle. We don't just say a prayer and believe something in our heart and then hang out for the rest of life. That's not what it's about. If that's what we're doing, we're missing it. We hear a lot of times, and I've said many times, that people will say Christianity is boring. I say if Christianity is boring, you're doing it wrong. You're absolutely doing it wrong if you're bored. We have a part to play in this battle. He then tells us, put on the whole armor of God. Now, you need to notice wording and what's being said when we read Scripture. Put on the armor. That means you have to put it on. If he tells you to put it on, it means it's not automatically on. No one's going to do it for us. I can't put your armor on for you, and you can't put it on for me. We have to do it ourselves, but we have to put it on. Without it, we're lost. And we have to put it on, as it says, the whole armor of God. If we say a prayer and believe something in our heart and hang out for the rest of life, we haven't put on the whole armor of God. We put on one piece, a very, very important piece, a piece that matters and makes a difference, but it's one piece of armor. We haven't put on the whole armor of God. No soldier leaves his armor behind. I don't know of any soldier that's just going to throw on a hat and run out to battle. It doesn't happen. That's not the plan. That's not the purpose. Every piece of armor is needed. Every piece of armor has a purpose. And then next we're told, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's so important because it's so easy to want to wrestle against flesh and blood. That's what I see before me. That's what I hear before me. That's what I want to wrestle with. Something I can see, feel, touch. That person that made me mad, that group that I disagree with, that person making decisions that I believe is doing it all wrong. There are times for this. There are occupations for this. But this is not the Christian fight. It's not against one another, and it's not against anyone out there. So what is our battle against? If it's not flesh and blood, if it's not that person, that group, that authority, who is it against? It says principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness. I'd encourage you to read different translations and see how they interpret those words. I'd encourage you to do a word study and see what those words mean. But at the end of the day, it does not mean people. It does not mean that person, that group, that authority. But it does mean spiritual darkness of all kinds. It says it's not on this earth, so where is it then? It says heavenly places. So this is very important that we realize this is all talking spiritual. It's all spiritual. Our armor is spiritual. You can go and you can get the best armor the stores have to provide, and it will not help you in this fight. Our enemy is spiritual. You can go and fight all the people you want, and you won't touch our enemy. The battleground is spiritual. You can go stomp around all over the place that you want, but you're not denting the enemy. If we are out fighting people and groups and institutions, there is a place for that. That is required at times. There are occupations for that. Police, military, various things like that, peaceful protests. But that's not the battle Scripture's talking about. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what Paul is telling us about. That's not what our spiritual armor is for. It will not help you in that. And that will not defeat our spiritual enemy. That is not taking place spiritually. Now, before we get into what the armor is and how it works, the very first thing that we're told to do is important. The very first thing, we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But I hope before we get into a battle, we're already there. Because if we're in this spiritual battle and we're not strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, we're doomed. So assuming that's already in place, assuming we're already strong in the Lord, the first thing we're told to do in various forms is stand. Stand. That's interesting because it doesn't say sit. It doesn't say hang out on the couch. It doesn't say, pull the covers over your head. It says, stand. It's an authority. It's a put your shoulders back. It's a get some confidence. It's be meek and mild, but don't be weak and wimpy. Stand. Stand for something. Speak about something. If we have faith, what is it good for if we do nothing with it? Stand. We're told this in different ways. Stand against, wrestle, withstand, and simply stand. There's a great emphasis here before we even look at armor on our stance. Anyone who's taken any martial arts training or boxing or any of these sort of things, you'll know that your stance is very important. Very important. It's actually the first thing taught. You'll go to martial arts training school, and the first thing they're going to show you is how to stand. You'll go take a boxing lesson, and you're so excited because you want to get in there and punch stuff. The first thing they're going to show you is how to stand. It makes a huge difference. But not only does this speak of our stance, but it tells us something important that we might overlook. And what is that? Well, it tells us that we need to be standing. You're not going to do much good boxing sitting down. It doesn't say hover. It doesn't say hide. It doesn't talk about cowering. It doesn't talk about running away or laying down or giving up. It doesn't talk about any of that. Not any of those things. We need to be standing, ready. Are we ready? Alert. Do we even know what's going on? Active. Are we doing something? Engaged. Are we engaged in what's going on in the spiritual world around us? A lot of times we will have issues in our life or in our families, and there are real issues and there are real problems and things need to get dealt with. But a lot of times, what do we do about it? Prayer chains are amazing and they're needed. But is that the only answer? Pray for me? Maybe if I'm in need of prayer, while I get the prayer chain praying, maybe I need to stand. Maybe I need to get up and do something. Maybe I need to pray a little more. Maybe I need to speak some things. Maybe I need to use the name of Jesus that I believe in my heart is so powerful. Cowering in fear is not what we're called to do. Ever. Hiding in the corner is not how we battle. Running away or lying down or giving up is not our calling. We're called to stand. And this call to stand, as I mentioned, is used several different ways in just these few verses. So I want to look at them this morning and look at what they're actually saying to us and what it implies for us. In verse 11, it reads, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now we can read that, and so I need to stand against. Well, what does that mean? Well, that wording phrase actually means to hold someone or something at bay aggressively. Or it's often used to stand in front of someone or something and oppose it. That's active. That's verb. That's action. Hold at bay aggressively the wiles of the devil. Stand in front of and oppose the wiles of the devil. Notice the language. It's not passive. It's not weak. It's not afraid. It's a form of engaging in battle. Verse 12 says that we wrestle against, not flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against spiritual darkness. Wrestle, that word is to engage actively in a one-on-one combat. That's not weak. That's not hiding. That's not covers over the head. Engage actively. One-on-one combat. I don't know about any of you that have done wrestling, but it is exhausting. Because you're doing something. Because you're working, because it's hard, because somebody's wrestling against you. Often we walk around all beat up, and we think that's just the Christian life. Well, maybe we're all beat up because we're not wrestling back. This is a battle. Engage in it. Verse 13 says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. This word is actually quite interesting. This withstand means and is translated as vigorously oppose, bravely resist. It's standing face to face against an adversary, standing your ground. It's where we get the word antihistamine from. Antihistamine has blocking effects. That's what it does, is it blocks the effects. It stops it. It's against it. These definitions are very far from hiding. These definitions are very far from running. Very far from cowering in fear. It's not acting like nothing's happening or pretending it's not real. Vigorously oppose. Bravely resist. Standing face to face against an adversary or standing your ground. The imagery used in these portions of Scripture and in a lot of Scripture with Paul is of a soldier. And in his times it was Roman, so a Roman soldier. So you take your picture, you take your image of a soldier. Picture him in your mind, or her, standing, armored up, ready, on guard. Picture it. That's how we are to be spiritually. Is that how we look spiritually? Is that your view of yourself spiritually? That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to be. This is so important. We're told all of this. It's interesting. This all comes before we're given any definition or details of what our armor is. Before we're told how to protect ourselves and put on this armor and what the armor is, before all of that, we're told to stand. It's interesting. And then Paul ends verse 13 with an interesting line. He says in verse 13, it says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand," this vigorously oppose, "in the evil day, and having done all," so you've done it all, "to stand." It's interesting. It's an interesting choice of phrasing and wording. And this phrasing, it could actually be said, "Stand ready for the next battle." Having done all, having held the enemy at bay aggressively, having stood in front and opposed, having actively engaged in one-on-one combat, vigorously opposed, bravely resisted, stood face to face with an adversary, stood our ground. After all of that, what do? Finally, we get to rest. Finally, we get to lay on the couch. Finally, it's over and we just coast through again. No. After all that, stand. Take your stand, ready for the next battle. Paul at this point has spent a lot of time in prison for things he didn't do. Falsely accused, falsely imprisoned, beaten, abused. But he's been around a lot of guards and around a lot of Roman soldiers. And so this is the imagery that he uses and gives to us of how to explain this whole armor that we're to put on. Next week, we're going to look at and get into, what is this armor? What are all of the pieces of the armor? Because it's no good to know one. It's no good to even know two or three at the end of the day. That's not going to help us fight. That's not going to help us win. How do we use it? What does it do? What does it mean? Why do we have it? And if we're to put it on, how do we put it on? What does that mean? So we're going to look at that next week, or maybe over the next couple of weeks. But as we close this morning, I just want to leave you with our text, Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13, from the New Living Translation. I like how it puts it. So let's listen to this. Paul says, "In conclusion, be strong in the Lord." The Amplified also gives us, "Draw your strength from Him, and be empowered through your union with Him and in the power of His boundless might. Put on the full armor of God, for His precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. Therefore, because of all that, put on the complete armor of God, so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger. And having done everything that crisis demands, stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, victorious. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that we have Jesus, our Savior, who went to that cross, who died in our place for forgiveness of sin, who rose from that grave that we can have new life, eternal life. We thank you, God, that you've given us spiritual armor for this battle. We thank you that you've given us your word for how to navigate this battle. I invite Holy Spirit, you to invade our hearts this morning here in this place and through the live stream, that you would invade our hearts, Holy Spirit, that you would give us some courage, that you would give us some boldness to stand. No more sitting, no more laying, no more head under the covers. Help us to stand, Lord, to be meek and mild, but not weak and wimpy. Help us to stand. Help us to put on this full armor that you've given us, Lord. Help us to always remain strong in you, Lord, and in the power of your might. Thank you that victory is ours. Thank you that in Christ we can't lose. We declare there's power in the name of Jesus, but we also declare that we're going to use that power for our lives, for our families, for our homes, for this church, for this community, for this world around us. You're building your kingdom, Lord. Show us how we can be a part of that. Your kingdom, God, your church, that the gates of hell will not prevail, because there's victory in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and you want prayer, if there's something going on in your life, we believe Jesus is amazing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We'd love to pray with you.